This is the BBC.
You're listening to a programme from BBC Radio 4.
Brain of Britain, the nationwide general knowledge contest, chaired by Russell Davis.
Thank you very much. And hello, the culmination of 4 months of knockout general knowledge in every sense of the word is about to unfold. With me are the four competitors who've come through heats and semi-finals to sit here in the Radio Theatre for the grand final of Brain of Britain 2018. The gleaming silver salver trophy awaits them, taking pride of place here on the stage for one of them to lift at the end of the programme. The champion will have the pleasure of keeping it and dusting it forever and ever. Let me now invite our finalists to introduce themselves to you.
Hello, I'm Jack Bennett. I'm an English student from Lancaster.
Hello, I'm Clive Dunning. I'm a teacher from Stockton-on-Tees.
Hi, I'm Mark Eaves, an accountant from Bexley.
Hello, I'm Brian Thompson. I'm a retired school teacher from Liverpool.
Well, you're all very welcome back, and it promises to be a tight and exciting contest. We'll start the first round of the final with your question, Jack Bennett. Children are often told by teachers that it was a dark and stormy night. It's forbidden as an opening line for a story because it's too much of a cliché. Which classic children's fantasy novel by the American writer Madeleine L'Engle deliberately flouts this rule by beginning with those very words?
A Wrinkle in Time?
A Wrinkle in Time, yes, now adapted for a 2018 Disney movie of the same title. Until 1973, Fulham Palace was the official residence of whom?
Bishop of London.
Out of time, I'm afraid. Clive Dunning?
Bishop of London.
It was the Bishop of London, I'm sorry, but we have to be strict about the bell. And the palace had been the residence for 1,000 years, but the bishop now lives in the old deanery in Dean Court in the City of London. We come to you, Clive Dunning. Which great classical composer once wrote that he considered himself thrice homeless as a native of Bohemia in Austria, as an Austrian among Germans, and as a Jew throughout the world, everywhere an intruder, never welcomed?
Dvořák?
No. Brian Thompson?
Mahler?
It was Gustav Mahler, yes. Mark Eaves. Who is the only post-Norman conquest English king to succeed his nephew?
Edward IV?
No, afraid not. Jack Bennett?
William IV?
No. No more guesses coming. It's the very well-known Richard III. Brian Thompson, what connects the Scottish place names Lochaber, Sutherland, Lewis, Skye, Bathgate, Methil, Irvine and Linwood?
They all appear in a Proclaimer's song. That is called A Letter from America.
You got it. That's right. Well done. Well thought. Which word for official, professional, or pretentious jargon or verbiage probably comes, according to the OED, from the noise made by a turkey cock?
Gobbledygook.
Yes. Police notices in many major cities warn motorists that ANPR is in operation. What does ANPR stand for?
Authorised non-protective regulations.
No. Nicely invented, but no. Mark Eaves?
Automatic number plate recognition.
That's exactly right, yes. And that brings us to the end of round one. Here are the scores, and everyone has scored, which is great. Jack Bennett, Clive Dunning, Mark Eaves, one apiece. Brian Thompson, 3. Straight back to Jack Bennett. Which Welsh castle is built over a large cave known as Wogan's Cavern?
Caerphilly?
No, I'm afraid it isn't Caerphilly. Worth a try. Brian Thompson?
Beaumaris?
No. Mark Eaves?
Conwy?
No. Clive Dunning have a castle?
Harlech.
No, it's Pembroke Castle. I'd never heard of it, but that's the answer. Clive Dunning, your question. Sternutation is another word for what common occurrence?
Sneezing.
It is a sneeze. Many of the 50 capitals of US states are by no means the largest cities in their respective states, but the capital of Vermont is the smallest of them all, with a population of around 8,000. What is it called?
Montpellier.
Montpellier is right, yes. As it is the state capital and thus a provider of employment, the daytime population swells to over 20,000 during the working week. The island of New Britain in the Bismarck Archipelago is part of which country?
Papua New Guinea.
That's the one. Which book of the Old Testament contains the prophecy of the tree of Jesse?
David?
No. Mark Eves.
1 Samuel.
No. Jack Bennett.
Joshua.
Not Joshua, no. Brian Thompson, have a book.
Kings.
No, it's Isaiah. The tree of Jesse is the family tree of Christ, a frequent subject in medieval art. Mark Eves, if a rock was described as clastic, what would it be composed of?
Melted material.
Lava. Not really, no. Brian Thompson.
Solidified lava?
No. Jack Bennett?
Magma?
No. Clive Dunning? No. You were quite close, really, but it's fragments of other rocks, obviously older rocks. That's what the clastic means. Brian Thompson, which 20th century composer wrote the music to the operetta Candide, based on the novella by Voltaire?
Leonard Bernstein.
He did. This year, 2018, is the centenary of Bernstein's birth, and to mark the occasion, his music features heavily in this year's BBC Proms programme. Which of the major marathons of the world, run since 1897, does not actually satisfy two of the criteria needed for the ratification of world records? Because the course drops 140 metres from start to finish, and because the start is quite far west of the finish line, allowing for a helpful tailwind.
Boston.
That's right. Which foreign secretary, possibly best known to posterity for a duel he fought with another politician on Putney Heath, was the principal British diplomat at the 1815 Congress of Vienna?
Canning?
No. Marquis.
Castlereagh.
Castlereagh is right. It's funny you should say Canning, though, because his 1809 duel was with his fellow cabinet member George Canning. Canning missed. He'd never fired a gun before, so he was bound to, and he was hit in the thigh, but he recovered to be, very briefly, Prime Minister later on. End of round two, and here are the scores. Jack Bennett, 1. Mark Eves, 2. Clive Dunning, 4. Brian Thompson, 5. All right, Jack, here it's time for the first musical clip of the final contest, and it's by a guitar band from Greater Manchester, whose first album made the Mercury Prize shortlist in 2017. When we've heard it, I'd like you to name the band.
Blossoms?
Blossoms is right. Yes, the song was Charlemagne. In a typical Roman town, what was the Cardo Maximus?
C-A-R-D-O. So.
Yes.
Amphitheatre?
No. Not a term that's ringing many bells. Yes, Marky.
Town centre?
No. Clive Dunning shaking his head. Brian Thompson?
Marketplace?
No. It's the main street. Namely, the one running north-south, which was their system. Clive Dunning, in 1977, which American writer, after being punched in the face by a Norman mailer, responded with the retort, "Once again, words fail Norman."
Gore Vidal.
Yes, happened at a party. Apparently, after Vidal had given an unfavourable review to one of Mailer's books, Gore later referred to the encounter as the Night of the Small Fists. What we call a Danish pastry is not called that by the Danish. The name they give it in Copenhagen refers instead to a different European city. Which one?
Vienna?
Yes, pretty much the home of pastry, known as Danish Vienna bread or Danske Wienerbrot. The name of which US city is said by some to derive from an Algonquin word meaning wild onions?
Boston.
No. Jack Bennett.
Chicago.
You got it, yes. Mark Eaves, the Chandrasekhar limit is the maximum mass theoretically possible for what?
Black hole?
No. Clive Dunning.
White star.
I think we'll let you have it. I say a little advisedly, because it's a white dwarf star officially, but a white star will do. Brian Thompson's question. Which writer best known for science fiction, fantasy, horror, and mystery was also the co-writer with John Huston of the screenplay for the 1956 film of Moby Dick?
Herbert? James Herbert?
No. Jack Bennett?
Asimov?
No. Mark Eaves?
H.P. Lovecraft?
No. Clive Dunning?
Edgar Wallace.
No. No, it was Ray Bradbury, of all people. Yes. The end of another round. And here are the scores. Mark Eaves, 2. Jack Bennett, 3. Brian Thompson, 5. Clive Dunning, 7. It keeps on changing, and so it should. Now, for about another quarter of an hour, the Brain of Britain title belongs to John Bainan from Northwich. And as has become the tradition, we've invited John, as the retiring incumbent, to set 2 questions that might stand a chance of beating the brains. This is where the 4 of you can sit back and take your fingers off the buttons briefly while you confer and collaborate audibly, we hope, on John's questions. Of course, it's just for fun. There are no points at stake. But we will be rounding off John Bainan's year as champion by sending him a small prize if his questions outwit you. So he'll be keeping his fingers crossed at any rate. Here's our reigning champion's first question, and it's about Nelson's column, but not for once the lions. The pedestal of Nelson's column in London is decorated with 4 bronze relief panels cast from captured French guns. One of the reliefs depicts the death of Nelson at Trafalgar, which 3 battles are the subjects of the others.
Copenhagen, maybe.
The Nile must be one, yeah.
We think it's Trafalgar, the Nile, and Santa Cruz de Tenerife.
Yeah, we've had Trafalgar already in one of them.
Sorry, it's my fault. Okay. Sorry.
Copenhagen.
So what are you giving me altogether?
Copenhagen,
yeah.
The Nile and Santa Cruz, the Tenerife.
No. The third one is the Battle of Cape St. Vincent.
Oh.
Yep. Never mind. Another group of 4 features and a public monument in John's second question. See what you make of this one. Bernini's Fontana dei Quattro Fiumi, or Fountain of the 4 Rivers, in the Piazza Navona in Rome, was designed for Pope Innocent X in 1651. It represents the 4 major rivers of the 4 continents where papal writ held sway, namely Africa, Asia, Europe, and the Americas. Which are the 4 rivers? So I want 4 river names representing those continents.
Okay. Nile, Plate, Ganges, Danube.
Wonderfully good. Yes, absolutely right. Very quickly polished off that one. So thank you, John Bainan, for 2 elegant questions, entirely typical of your character. And congratulations again on being the 64th Brain of Britain. You win a book voucher prize to round off your year and this final and world-beating round of applause. We'd be very happy indeed to continue receiving your suggestions for questions with which to beat the brains while we're off air, and we'll store them up and choose the best of them to ask our contestants in the 2019 series. Let's resume our final. Fingers back on buttons, and we start the next round with you again, Jack Bennett. What's the name given to the region of the human spinal column found between the lumbar region and the coccyx?
Sacrum? Sacral region?
Yes, the sacral region is, yes, that's the adjective from, yes. When you say Gesundheit to a person who has just sneezed, what are you wishing them?
Bless you. Good health.
Good health, yes. It is the German word for health, Gesundheit. The birthday of which figure who came to prominence in the 20th century was chosen as the date to celebrate the International Day of Nonviolence?
Gandhi.
Mahatma Gandhi is right. Yes, it's October the 2nd. I found out that that was also Richard III's birthday, so at that point I abandoned that line of research. In which organ of the body would you find the clusters of blood capillaries known as the glomeruli?
Kidney.
Yes. Which pub game involves each player holding a number of coins from 0 to 3, the object being to guess the aggregate number of coins hidden in the hands of all the players?
Shove halfpenny.
No. Clive Dunning.
Two's up.
Nope. Brian Thompson.
Nine men's Morris.
No. Mark Eve's going to have a go. Not heard of it. It's called spoof, or spoofing. The World Spoofing Championship has taken place every year since 1983. Okay, Clive Dunning, music for you now. And this orchestral piece is from an overture by Tchaikovsky. The Russian composer wrote three works based on Shakespeare's plays, of which Romeo and Juliet is probably the best known. Please tell me which of Shakespeare's plays was the inspiration for this piece.
Midsummer Night's Dream.
No. Jack Bennett.
Henry V.
No. Mark Eves.
The Tempest.
No. Brian Thompson.
Macbeth.
No. It was tragical, wasn't it? It was more tragical than still, probably. Hamlet. That was the Hamlet Overture. Tchaikovsky also wrote a symphonic fantasy based on The Tempest. Mark Eves. In 1856, which British inventor and engineer developed and gave his name to the first process for manufacturing steel inexpensively?
Cort.
No. Clive Dunning.
Bessemer.
Yes, indeed, Henry Bessemer. Sir Henry Bessemer, the Bessemer process. My generation of schoolboys had all heard of the Bessemer converter, though hardly any of us knew what it converted into what else. Brian Thompson, what does the acronym MAMIL, M-A-M-I-L, stand for when applied to a man riding an expensive bicycle while wearing professional-style body-hugging jersey and shorts?
Matter about men in Lycra.
No. Clive Dunning?
Middle-aged men in Lycra.
Yes, yes. Lycra was right. The female equivalent is apparently now middle-aged matron in Lycra. End of another round. Mark Eves, 2. Brian Thompson, 5. Jack Bennett, 7. Clive Dunning, 9. You may not feel that they are, gents, but these results are too close to call still. Jack Bennett now. The plant known as the Venus flytrap is native to just 2 states of America. Can you give me either of them?
Tennessee.
No. Mark Eves?
South Carolina.
Is one of them. North Carolina is the other. Yes, the swampy savanna lands of the American East Coast are a perfect habitat. The flytrap has been successfully transplanted to other places, but it grows natively nowhere else. Clive Dunning. The word yogurt is believed to have originated in which language?
Turkish.
Yes. A person with which hobby would be interested in Hawaiian missionaries, which made their first appearance in 1851?
Stamp collectors?
Philately stamp collecting is right. The stamps came to be known as missionaries because they were primarily found on the correspondence of missionaries. Matthew Henson, the African-American Arctic explorer and author of the memoir A Negro Explorer at the North Pole, was a lifelong companion of which other explorer, a great deal more famous at the time?
Robert Peary.
That's right. Roald Dahl was Sophie Dahl's maternal grandfather. Which comic actor was her paternal one?
Stanley Holloway.
Yes, the actor Julian Holloway is her father. The historic warship HMS Belfast was opened as a tourist attraction in London in 1971. Her forward guns are permanently trained on which somewhat unlikely landmark around 12 miles away to the north?
Windsor Castle.
No. Mark Eves.
Alexandra Palace.
No. Nobody knows, and I'm really not surprised. The answer is the London Gateway Service Area, formerly Scratchwood Service. As one writer has said, the selection of the target was random and has nothing to do with the bill of fare on offer at the service station. Now, music for Mark Eves. It's a classic piece of 1960s ska by the Scatterlights, but the melody may be familiar from elsewhere. Whose tune is it? So who wrote that is the question.
John Barry?
No, it wasn't John Barry. Brian Thompson?
Henry Mancini.
He did. It's Baby Elephant Walk, a Grammy-winning tune composed for the film Hatari in 1962. Brian Thompson's question. What unofficial term describes the division of financial assets and real property on the termination of a personal live-in relationship, wherein the parties are not legally married?
Curtailment?
No. I think you'll kick yourselves if you don't. No? No. Okay.
Palimony. That's me. Sorry again.
You're back to you. You're right. Yeah. It's palimony. Yes. Tennis player Billie Jean King was sued by Marilyn Bennett in one of the most famous of all palimony cases in 1981. At the end of that round, here are the latest scores. Mark Eves, 3. Brian Thompson, 6. Jack Bennett, 7. Clive Dunning, 13. And fair warning, gentlemen, this has to be the final round of the contest. Jack Bennett, your turn. Which fashion designer married Alexander Plunkett Green in 1957?
Chanel?
No. Now then, Brian Thompson.
Sandra Rhodes.
No. Mark Eves.
Vivian Westwood.
No. Clive Dunning.
Mary Quant.
Correct. Well done. Yeah. She met her future husband and business partner in 1953. Clive Dunning's question, what term of French origin can mean both a spray of flowers worn in the buttonhole and, when used in a surgical context, an incision made in the urethra in order to extract a calculus?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. Brian Thompson?
Corsage?
No. Yes, Mark Eves?
Buttonhole.
Seems almost cruel to say no, but I have to. No, the answer is a boutonniere. The word occurs in the lyric of the song Lulu's Back in Town, if you remember that, where American singers usually pronounce it boutonniere. Mark Eves, which venomous fish found in the Indo-Pacific has species including Cynancia verrucosa and Cynancia horrida?
Pufferfish?
No. Any more fish? Yes, Clive Dunning.
Stonefish.
Correct again, yes.
Oh, no, that was a story, yes. And the name's written on it.
Every bit as horrid as they sound. They taste nice when cooked, but that's not much of a consolation when you've trodden on one. Now, music for you now, Brian Thompson. Stephen Sondheim once wrote of the following number from a musical that it's as good a comic song as has ever been written by anybody. I'd like you to tell me in which decade the show received its premiere.
When I'm with a pistol, I sparkle like a crystal. Yes, I shine like the morning sun. But I lose all my luster when with a Bronco Buster. Oh, you can't get a man with a gun. With a gun.
1940s.
Correct. 1946, yes, we heard one of Annie Oakley's songs from Annie Get Your Gun by Irving Berlin. The singer was Kim Criswell. Oddly enough, from that great score, I wouldn't have chosen that one for comedy when you've got Doing What Comes Naturally and Anything You Can Do, I Can Do Better, but never mind. The Adam Smith Theatre is located in which Scottish town, where the political economist of that name was born in 1723?
Perth.
Not Perth. Will anybody bring us that answer? Mark Eaves?
Stirling.
No. No. No answers. Kirkcaldy is the answer. And that brings us to the end of the final of Brain of Britain 2018, with the scores standing like this. Mark Eaves, 3 points. Brian Thompson, Jack Bennett, 7 points each. Clive Dunning, 15. Congratulations to Clive Dunning, who becomes the 65th BBC Brain of Britain. My thanks to all 48 of our competitors this year, to our enthusiastic audiences at the contests, and to you for listening. If you'd like to be considered as a contestant in next year's series, please get in touch with us. We'll make sure we send you an application form when the time comes for recruitment later in the year. And we'd particularly love to hear from female applicants, as we never seem to have enough of you to give the men a proper run for their money. Join us when we launch the 2019 series of Brain of Britain. In the meantime, from our new champion, Clive Dunning of Stockton-on-Tees, and all of us here, goodbye.
You can download many more BBC Radio 4 programmes for free. Find these at bbc.co.uk/Radio 4.
This is the BBC.